Welcome into the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is a morning after edition of Aftermath, this time following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 23-21 defeat at the hands of those Oklahoma Sooners. Those Sooners have become a problem for Alabama. Two in a row now for Boomer over Bama. Guess you got to go back to that Orange Bowl in the, 2018-2019 playoff, when Alabama took care of the Sooners down in South Florida. Kyler Murray and Tua Tagovailoa, your quarterbacks, as I recall, in that one. But Oklahoma, once again in the month of November, problematic for a Kalen DeBoer-coached Alabama team. Alabama, essentially, in this game, lived too much in the negatives. Couldn't be negative three in turnover margin. Couldn't have a disparity, even in special teams play, like you saw for Alabama in this game, and expect to beat a top 10-ish Oklahoma team. Now, we can watch the game. We can talk about stats, and stats in this case, certainly for losers, because a lot of those stats look good for Alabama. However, the ones that we talk about more often than not, turnover margin, which had been very good for Alabama going into this game, not so much on Saturday, living at minus three. Ty Simpson with the pick six. And we can talk about, well, Oklahoma only had 212 yards. Well, put the return yards in there with those 212 yards. 87 on a pick six. The punt return early was huge. You can't be in the negatives when it comes to turnover margin, when it comes to special teams play. When you talk about complimentary football, it was as uncomplimentary to the Alabama defense as that Alabama offense and special teams could be. You can't be in the negatives on red zone field goals. I did a good job of forcing some red zone field goals on some of those short fields. But then you miss one right before the end of the second quarter on a Connor Talty miss. He wasn't happy about the snap. I get that. They've had some operational issues on that unit, it feels like, throughout this season, even against LSU last week. On his big make there in the fourth quarter, he got about as bad a laces as you can get on a kick, and he still nailed it. So he actually had a better hold and a better spot on this 35-yarder yesterday, so he's got to make it. So I understand his frustration, but if his eyes and his focus is where it's supposed to be, that's not an issue, because ultimately the ball got set down perfectly where he wanted it. And you can say, well, 44 jumped over the top, got a hand on it. The ball was going left from the get-go. I think 44 was a factor on the kick, Wine, but he was a factor because it became an issue for Talty, I think, more than anything else. And may have tipped it, but if you go back and you look at the rotation on that kick, it was going left the whole way. That looked like the Georgia miss, the way it came off his foot. It was dead from the get-go. And so issues really with offensive turnovers, and you turned it over on special teams too. You know, Ryan Williams, interesting that he's back there. I get it. You're trying to give yourself some of what Oklahoma got in special teams with free yards in the return game. I don't mind the effort on the play in which he fumbled, but you got to take care of the ball. Same for Ty Simpson. Was it five straight games now with a strip sack? You know, we can talk about the interception totals looking good, but in some of these, yeah, if you're talking about a blindside situation, there's nothing a quarterback can do. But a lot of these have come from his face side. And, Michael Carroll on that play gave it up a little bit on the edge. But you heard Kalen DeBoer talk about it postgame. Ball's got to come out too. And so not the best of games for Ty Simpson. Certainly not the best of games for Alabama from a turnover perspective. And so now you're sitting there, going to head to Auburn in a couple weeks, and going to need a win there. Still some good things, I think, to take from that game on Saturday. I know it sounds crazy, even with some time to sort of sleep it off. I'm sure you don't feel the same. But I saw some positives. And by the way, we appreciate you chiming in here in the show chat. Hattie Mae, good morning. Good morning to you, Hattie Mae. Hattie Mae is down on Ty, by the way. Hattie Mae says Ty is a career backup. I'm not ready to go there. I thought Ty still did some really good things. Alabama moved the football for the most part, but the ball security, the pick six was not good. They jumped the safety there, rolled a safety down late, and Ty got pressure. And I know there was some talk about that pressure and the right side of the offensive line, and I thought it was well designed by Oklahoma, that pressure with the linebacker right up the A-gap. And that's been an issue for Alabama in pass protection. Sometimes it's the back that doesn't get it picked up. Sometimes between the center guard combinations that we've seen, which we started the game for Alabama yesterday with Wilkin Formby at right guard, Michael Carroll at right tackle. I can't always say for sure. I don't know the protections. I don't know the calls. I just know that it was well designed by Oklahoma because they overloaded that side once they brought the blitzer in the A-gap. And you saw Brailsford, I think it was Vandermark or Dewberry, and Caden Proctor basically all had one guy. You know, there's one guy to the left side of the Alabama formation, and you had the center, left guard, left tackle go with that guy. So then you had 3-on-2 for Oklahoma and a free runner, and that obviously sped up Ty. Threw that before he wanted to, I'm sure. And I think throughout the game, you saw the pressure affect him. We got to know, I told you so. Here you go. R.D. Cowell says, I told you Talty would cost us a game, and you easily argue. He did yesterday. Yeah, I'm not going to argue that it was an insignificant kick that he missed. Certainly at the end of the game, when you lose by two, you miss a 35-yarder, even in the second quarter. I say that every week on this show. Every kick is big. But at the same time, when you're minus three in turnover margin and you're constantly creating short fields for a solid to really good opponent, you're probably going to lose. So, yeah, you can pin it on Talty if you want, if it makes you feel better about your I told you so. But it certainly wasn't the only reason why Alabama lost that game. Now, if he makes that kick, yeah. You know, the talk about the final possession there in the fourth quarter, how much time it took off, that whole narrative flips if he makes that kick, if you're up a point. Because in that situation, you're trying to possess the ball. Now, you're not worried about taking 6.5 minutes off the clock there in the fourth quarter. It was a big miss. And I will say this, after the last 2 weeks, he's missed two from inside 40. That's been my point all along. And that's really what the difference in the kickers was yesterday. Oklahoma's kickers took care of business from inside 40 yards. And you thought this guy would do that. You can talk about his shorts. You can talk about his pants. You call him Lance Armstrong, whatever you want to call him. And he made the 52-yarder. And that's the one that'll dominate discussion. But more often than not, it's the misses from inside 40 yards that lose games than makes from outside 50 win games. And Talty's missed two from inside 40 the last 2 weeks. So absolutely. Hey, if you've got Lee Tiffin or Van Tiffin or Philip Doyle or Michael Proctor or someone like that that you're just hiding right now because Talty's doing all the kicking, bring him right out. Roll him right out. Absolutely. Talty, more so in my opinion, has opened that job back up or should be opened back up because of the misses from inside 40. Before LSU, the one thing you could say about Connor Talty was that he was automatic from inside 40. Outside of 40, it was a little touch and go. But he makes the 40 pluses against LSU. He misses the chip shot, and then he misses the one right before halftime on Saturday. Hattie Mae, what do you got to say? You got an I told you so for me? Love those on a Sunday morning. Hey, give them to me. Hattie Mae says Talty is selfish, has a bad attitude, and he sucks at kicks, and he's still on the team. Yeah, again, it's going to be a rough few days. And Talty did with that reaction. Not good. Not good. And it'll be interesting to see how or if this coaching staff addresses that, because that was a very public admonishment of a teammate. And really, it was a throw me under the bus. Throw a guy under the bus, because in my opinion, Talty still got to make that kick. Even with the high snap, even with the jumper over the A gap. The bottom line is the ball was set down and clean spot, clean laces, got to make a 35 yard. No ifs, ands, buts about it. And the display afterwards tells me that, like I talked about earlier, they've had issues with the operation. They have. So it's something they need to look at in its totality. And if you've got a snapper that isn't consistently putting the ball on the money, that's a problem. So I thought Dowd did a really nice job on the hold. You know, he made it as seamless as possible. Talty could be absolved of that miss in one or two scenarios with that snap. If a snap forces a kicker to reset and kind of and or change their route to the ball and the timing is totally disrupted, then okay, we can talk about snaps. That was not the case. That snap didn't throw off anything except Talty. Jack chiming in here on a Sunday morning. Ty threw away the Heisman and the season in one game. Season's not over. Come on now. Season's not over. Go to Auburn, get a win. You know, you got basically a bye week with a pulse this week. Can get some guys some rest, get some guys ready, and roll it down to the Plains. Hattie May still struggling on a Sunday. He says, well, we're not going to go there, Hattie May. Jack, not having a running game is killing us. I would agree with that more yesterday if OU heard Alabama running it. This wasn't last year in Norman. And I thought Ben Arbuckle helped Alabama out in a lot of ways because Oklahoma ran the ball just 28 times. Everybody talks about Alabama doesn't run the ball. Well, they ran it 33 times yesterday. Now, they had 75 plays. That adds to the frustration of the loss. Had 75 plays to Oklahoma's 51, ran 24 more ball plays. Daniel Hill ran it 15 times for 60 yards. Again, positives from yesterday, I would say Daniel Hill. I love Jam Miller. I think I understand maybe more so than some what he's been through this season with the concussion issue, with the collarbone. You play the running back position in the SEC and you start the season with a collarbone injury, that's going to probably be a rough season. But Daniel Hill at this point, and both Jam and Daniel had deficiencies in pass pro yesterday. They both had problems. So that's not a clear separator right now. But if it isn't, then Daniel Hill, his production tells me probably got to play him more right now. He caught five balls yesterday for 37 yards. So you got 20 touches for your primary running back yesterday for right around 100 yards and two touchdowns. You know, 2025 football, that's not terrible. And I've said it 100 times here on the channel. I mean, the Kalen DeBoer era is not going to be Biebs 2.0. It's not going to be Fran, you know. They're going to be quarterback-centric, and you're going to have to be more interested in touches and scrimmage yards for your backs. You may not like that. I understand if you don't, but that's just the reality of the situation. Josh Cuevas, good game. 6 for 80 and the one touchdown. Really nice play design to get him just wide open. I thought going into the game that was going to be key. How Alabama could sort of offset those linebackers because they are so impactful, even with a key injury yesterday. They still got dudes at the linebacker position. And you couldn't play defense against them for 60 minutes. You had to go on the offensive and make them respect the potential for what you could do with your backs and your tight ends. Isaiah Horton, 3 catches, 56 yards. Jeremy, 7 for 71. Ryan, 3 for 45. Thought he had a DPI against him that certainly could have been called there in the first quarter. It was not. But the 3 turnovers, you keep going back to that. And you had one situation right before the pick six. You kind of had the Mark Ingram against Auburn fumble reversed. Daniel Hill spits it up. It rolls down the field, down that same sideline as Ingram's fumble back in 2010. And you catch a break. And then you throw the pick six. So you didn't even take advantage of your good fortune when you had opportunities to do it yesterday. CeCe says, I've heard Ty has more fumbles than Milroe had. Maybe. Hattie, chill out. I don't want to have to ban you from the chat. Okay, I like you. Just keep it about the football. That's my only rule here. You know, let's be something more than a seven-year-old. What do we got here from Jack? What a waste of a great defensive performance. Absolutely. Absolutely trash-canned it. I have gone from being seriously concerned or not trusting in Kane Womack and that defense on a weekly basis to feeling like, well, they can go to Auburn, and even if they still score 21 to 24 with this offense and special teams, if they can keep the offense and special teams from putting the defense in just absolutely abhorrent situations, they can get the job done in a couple of Saturdays. That's where I'm at. So kudos to the Alabama defense. Yes, they gave up the touchdown to Mateer on the one shortish field, I believe it was. But I'm not going to put that on the defense. I'm not putting anything on the defense after yesterday. You know, did the job against the run game for Oklahoma, I'd say, for the most part. And look, third down, Oklahoma 3 of 13 on thirds. So no worries, no issues with the defense, except that absolutely feel like you wasted one there yesterday. JM 12 Green 31. Oklahoma is a solid team, and when quarterback is healthy, definitely worthy opponent. So nothing to be ashamed of. Just need to clean up mistakes. I agree. Everything's still on the table. Atlanta, college football playoff, it's still out there. Yeah, that's it, RD. Yeah, I know. I did agree with you on the Talty miss. It was important, but you just can't circle back and hit on it. Two short fields, a pick six, missed field goal, 20 points total. There you go. And look, give Oklahoma some credit. That's Oklahoma's recipe right now. Disruptive, opportunistic defense, and take care of the ball. And you got a hell of a kicker. You know, you can win a lot of games that way. Let's see what else we have here. JM12 chiming back in. Why is everybody so worried about the kicker's reaction? I'm glad somebody is showing some damn emotion. It was a bad snap. It was. But JM, I actually kicked a lot of footballs back in the day. And I missed field goals, bottom line. But I never had a miss where the spot was perfect that wasn't entirely on me. If the bottom line is, if the ball gets to the spot clean and on time, it's on you. And so just own it. You know, that can make for a tough situation for you. As a kicker, you're already perceived as less than in your own locker room, okay? And then when you start throwing teammates under the bus, and there is such a thing, I believe, as kicker karma. What else do we have here? What do we got? This offensive line issue goes back to Saban, and to have a stockpile of 4 to 5-star players get continually looked and perform this bad just pisses you off. It's been an issue. I thought there were times where the protection was actually pretty good. When you look at how many times Alabama threw the football, I didn't think it was poor. I didn't think Proctor was bad. Again, it helped. You had a notable absence for Oklahoma in that pass rush. So you were working on the plus side before the opening snap based on personnel. But Oklahoma is not a one-man show, and Venables can dial it up. Yeah, no personal attacks. We're not doing that in here. Oh, GM says, I've heard Womack is in the running for the Arkansas job. What do you think? I would think, and again, give Kane credit. They have improved, no doubt. And I guess his dad, Dave, had some history with Arkansas. I don't know. I would be surprised if Kane is really in the running. He could be a B, C tier type guy, I think. Tony chiming in here. Hey, Travis, we should have had another kick. You cannot jump a lineman or the line on a field goal attempt. It should have been a 15-yard penalty. I was wondering about the ruling on that. I don't know. I just know what I know is the spot and the hole were good. And you may be right. I don't know. I just look at it from what happened. Let's see. CC says, agree. I thought O-line wasn't horrible. I thought they ran the ball better, CC, than I expected them to run it. Ty just took too long and didn't step up in the pocket. You can see that from SkyCast, which I watched instead of ABC. SkyCast is a very good option. SkyCast is great because, among other things, gives you more of a stadium feel if you have access to it. Now, you won't have announcers. Now, a lot of people say that's a good thing. I agree. I didn't think the offensive line was terrible. I think you had a couple of breakdowns with your backs in pass pro, but, you know, as much as they threw it, I didn't think it was awful. And I think you got – if you went into that game yesterday thinking you'd get anywhere close to 100 rushing yards, especially with four sacks as a part of that total – and I do agree with the sentiment here that you got to give Oklahoma credit. Yeah, Ty's missed a few lately. I mean, it's a long season, and quarterbacks are like anyone else. They go through some peaks and valleys, but when you're able to get early pressure on a quarterback, that can speed up and affect that, that can affect that accuracy. After a while. Let's see. Yeah, I guess, you know, if Texas A&M loses on the road at Texas, which yesterday for about a half looked very possible, very reasonable. And for about three quarters of that Texas-Georgia game, right, you could get into a massive – you could get into a massive tiebreaker situation. Edward White chiming in. I was disappointed that Ty didn't perform better under pressure. We all knew it was coming. Yeah, I mean, again, nobody's perfect. And sometimes the people around you aren't always perfect. But – I'm sure Ty feels the same way today. I'm sure he thought he would play better. He's been choppy. He's been up and down. I thought the first half, other than the pick six, which is a tough other, and when you throw a pick six, there was a lot of good things in that first half. And when you think about the second half, the last couple weeks, they just haven't been what I'm sure he would like them to be, or Ryan Grubb. In those scenarios. Nicholas says this offense has been regressing, I believe is the word Nicholas was going for there, in the last three games when they should be hitting their peak. Yeah, that goes both ways, Nicholas. Absolutely, you would like to be trending in a direction. That's what happens. Look at Georgia. You know, Georgia is very much in tune with who they are right now. They are playing Georgia football, and that includes balance. That includes confident and competent quarterback play. So it's all happening at the right time. That's what you're hoping for. And also, the other side of that is, once you get 8-9 games into the season, there are more and more sample size that's out there on you. As we've heard Kane Womack say on some Mondays earlier in the season, there are things you put on tape that you will have to account for. Well, once you put 7 or 8 games, there are things. And the competency of the defensive units, I think, has ratcheted up. Now, look at that first half for South Carolina's defense against Texas A&M yesterday. They can go. You know, that offense is what fails South Carolina more than anything. And they leave them out there forever. And you knew LSU was going to have multi-million dollar personnel, literally, and they do. So that was problematic. You knew Oklahoma statistically was going to be a problem. Auburn's going to be very tough defensively. In a couple weeks. What else do we have here before we get out of here? We're going to have Talking Tide tonight with Chase Goodbread. Kenny Powers, what do you say, KP? Oklahoma is a team that keeps coming tough. Toughest team in the league with clear limitations. They know who they are. They're kind of like A&M. And how they play with an edge. And that's defensive head coaches for both those teams. CeCe says he thinks Georgia is tougher than OU at this point. Yeah, I think Georgia right now is the more complete team than Oklahoma. But where Oklahoma's good, they're good. You knew Satania was a threat returning punts. I thought Brooks got down there in good shape. But hell of a play by Satania on that punt return. Stayed on his feet enough. Made that first guy miss, and then everybody else is pretty late. It was also a low – it looked like a low tumbling, maybe a tail dragger from Dowd. It wasn't a good punt. Special teams an F yesterday. T. Smitty says, John Mateer is a guy who got an A on the group project despite contributing nothing. Well, he had the touchdown run. I think his presence fits them well. He is he's a higher grade of what they had. I guess you could say Jackson Arnold was a little bit Dollar General John Mateer. I mean, I think Mateer can make at least some throws. With Jackson Arnold, you go against that guy, you got to make him make throws. RD says Brooks needs to wrap up that tackle, wrap up those ankles, not try a shoulder tackle. It's kind of a tough spot, too, because you got a wide receiver as a gunner there. And I know Lottie's just a good football player. But yeah, where's everybody else? I mean, some of that looked like me trying to cover that punt. All right. Just wanted to jump on for about 30 minutes or so. Again, we will have Talking Tide tonight, right here on Ryer on YouTube, Sunday Night Live with Chase Goodbread of the Tuscaloosa News. We'll get more into this football game, Alabama and Oklahoma. We will begin to look ahead because there is still a lot for this Alabama team to play for. Is it going to be a team in year two under Kalen DeBoer that takes another step? Or is it going to be a team that just pretty much does what it did a year ago? That's what the Auburn game is going to come down to. You know, win the Auburn game. If you're 10-2, 7-1 in the league, and you don't make the college football playoff, then you've earned the right to bitch. A year ago, with that performance in Norman, and then to finish 9-3, you put yourself in that purgatory that you don't really want to revisit again in 2025. We'll see how Alabama rebounds. Won't know as much this week, but again, a good week for this kind of game that's coming up next Saturday. If you're Alabama, you should be able, Quay Rousseau, you know, guys like that, that you can really use against Auburn in a couple Saturdays, can be very, very, very beneficial. Yeah, I think if Alabama wins out, Jacob, Alabama's in. Now, the whole, you know, the championship game scenario for some of these other teams could get interesting depending on how the regular season is. Georgia's interesting because now they just basically have to sit around and wait. But they still have a huge game with Georgia Tech on the 29th as far as the college football playoff and some of those implications. So still a lot of football left over these final 2 weeks. We'll talk about it with you right here on Ryer on YouTube again tonight with Chase Goodbread on Talking Tide. Try to have a great rest of your Sunday. Come on, you know, make the most of it. And we'll be back later this evening right here on the channel. Until then, so long, everybody.